the second part of our guest puja ceremony, starting with a lecture by Guru Maharaj, which will last from now for an hour, well, it could be longer. Let's see how long we get the message for. But we'll hand over to the Lokadam team and to Guru Maharaj there. Thank you.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. So Hare Krishna, I lovingly, affectionately, full of happiness, want to welcome you for this second part of our celebration. I hope it has been insightful so far for you. I have received a few very overwhelming feedbacks. How much devotees who saw this and shared this appreciated really the part when we had individual devotees representing or presenting really the projects. Do you remember Manuram's very nice video on the bus tour? Jai Krishna talking about New Vrindavan and his various services. The Yoga's music team with Atma Amarananda and our Gaur Govinda and their various helpers and Kirtaniyas. Braj Care, such a wonderful project of doing service in Vrindavan. That is always very important for devotees to at least keep some type of contact with Vrindavan, if only a mental contact where you are mindful of Vrindavan. I read today of Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur, who said, when after death, I will be judged for my deeds. The time which I spent in the land of Vrindavan will save me. He's of course a very great lover of Vrindavan. And how we got in contact with this or heard about this most amazing project of upbuild. No? Do you remember Hari Prasad introducing the team and I have been in upbuild programs and I was online on programs and will be online on upbuild programs. In the next upbuild program, I will explain about my experiences in the war in Ljubljana and how at the edge of death, we become very serious about life and so on. And do you remember that amazing presentation of Gadadhar, who has the heart of a devotee and the mind of a genius? Oh, very, very nice. Then we saw Kirtan London, which is also Kirtan Global. It's an initiative which has a certain format that is repeated all over the world now. They are even active in Moscow. And what else did we see? Please help me. I'm sorry? Prasadam distribution in New York. Saw that. Bhaktivedanta College, we saw, thank you. What?
Bastu.
Bastu, yes, we spoke already. Brajka, yes, we spoke already. And maybe something else which due to old age I do not remember. At the moment we are seeing a live video of Goloka Dham. That is also very inspiring. We had a wonderful pause. I ate the cake of Nadia Biharini. It was shaped like a heart. That was a total vegan cake with blueberries, I saw. And we had other good preparations, and now we are ready to go on to a very important message that I wish to give all of you. Really wish to have prepared this quite well, I believe. I mean, I've researched a little bit. I only need one Bhagavatam, maybe Valentina. I think you have the key to the library. You can get me. She's just coming there, or no, where? Oh, sorry. Yes, Valentina. I need the second canto, chapter 4, text 40. 2, 4, 40. Good. Before I start, I want to just say, do you know this language? It is Persian. Maybe you cannot see. Yeah, I think you can see now. It's the first chapter of the Living Name. See this amazing language. It looks like Sanskrit without the line over it. It is a translation done by Persian disciples of the Living Name book, and they want to publish the whole book also in Persian. So that is very nice. I think Nitya Kishori has translated it already into Croatian, and that means the whole Balkan will be able to read it. And yes, very happy. Thank you, thank you. Mm. Oh, I made a mistake. I'm sorry. I said 2440. There is no even 2440. Valentina, if you're so kind to us again, it's 12440. 12. 12. I'm very sorry. You can return it. My dear devotees, it was in 73 in Calcutta where Srila Prabhupada gave a lecture where he described his motto. A motto is something that guides us in our life. It's who we are. Motto. And would you like to hear his motto? Yes. It's intriguing, isn't it? What could it be? He said, "Everything for Krishna, nothing for myself." What a motto! Everything for Krishna, nothing for myself. That's deep. Everything for Krishna, nothing for myself. Well, if the heart is not purified, that's scary. That's, one becomes fearful when one hears such a motto. How do you think someone can come to this level where the eye and mind, which are born from the ego, are no longer operating? How do you think can one come to this level of unlimited consciousness, free from the barriers of material consciousness, which is full of desires and so on? It's really only possible when you become very attached to Krishna. Otherwise, it is in fact very scary. So, Prabhupada explained to the devotees in Mumbai, when they were constructing the temple, his motto. He said, "It's only possible to become attached to Krishna and attached to give Krishna pleasure if one has an idea who is Krishna." He said, "But if one has no idea who is Krishna, then where is bhakti? Only if I know the person, if I know his nature, then I can know how to satisfy him." Today I spoke to two devotee mothers, very nice devotees, who explained or gave me a little insight into what it means to have children and what it means to to take care or to guide or inspire the children when they come of age, where they want to a little bit also do their own thing, or not a, some want not a little bit but very strongly to do. It's only possible to keep on sacrificing for the children if you really love them. Think of what we heard another mother say today. "I'm totally sleep deprived," the mother said, because she, when you have a small child, when you are a mother, or you have to stay up all night sometimes because they wake up and they are immediately hungry and wish to drink, and the mothers are giving the sacrifice. How can they do this? To be 24 hours around the clock engaged in serving the child. In our little ashram called Gorabhavan, we live with a wonderful devotee couple who have a wonderful little child whom we all love very much. The child comes to us and participates in eating prasadam and other activities of the ashram. It's a nice Krishna conscious child who even assists in the little way a child is able in taking care of the deities and picks flowers. A few days ago it came with a bunch of spring flowers. But what we can see is that the parents all around the clock take care of the child. I mean, they go with the child everywhere. They play with the child everywhere. They take the child on the sledge, through the snow. I mean, it's really 100% child seva. How can they do this? Because they are attached to the child. They, in a good way, they love the child. Everything for another and nothing for myself is only possible when you love someone, when you are attached, and when you can give this spontaneously. Otherwise, you quit. It's too much. You give up. So, this is one of the principles of Krishna consciousness. If you ever wish to advance, if you want to come above the clouds, this is such an amazing decoration. I invite everyone when I'm gone to sit on this. You know, it's really an amazing thing. But if you in your life want to be above the clouds of worries, anxieties, unlimited desires and insecurities, if you want to come above the clouds and become, that means you have to become free from I and mine, that which pulls you into the material energy and connects you with the Prakriti. That is only possible if you develop devotion for Krishna. And again, Prabhupada makes it so clear. Where is bhakti? Where is devotion if one has no idea who is Krishna? Only if I know the person, if I know his nature, then I can know how to satisfy him. Now, Prabhupada gave us an important lecture. It was already in 66, where he explained that to become attached to Krishna is only possible if you repeatedly, daily hear about his pastimes. He said, unless you hear, you cannot go to the spiritual world. I read the whole thing for you. If in this life, he says, if in this life, if we practice devotion to God, then next life, we become an associate of God. Vachintamani prakara satmasu. We are transferred to his planet. You see? These are simple things. The whole thing is in my hand. Unless you hear, you cannot abide there. And then Prabhupada gives a practical example. It's this lecture comes from 66. It was given in New York, and he has newcomers there. He says, Just we have our friend Mr. Cohen. He has left for California. Now, so far as I'm concerned, I have no idea of California. Now, he has told me that after reaching there in California, he will write about the description of that place. Now, suppose if I read the description of that place and I think of going there, so I prepare myself, oh, I must go to California. So just like I was describing, now he comes back to his main point, right? I was describing to you Chintamani Dham. What sort of trees are there? And you were very much pleased that I must go there. So we have to hear. Unless we hear what sort of God he is, what sort of God's place is, what is the mode of life there, how you live there, we cannot be attracted. We can simply not be attracted. I think one of our problems in our movement is that devotees do not hear about personally what Krishna does, what sort of person he is. There are various reasons. I think the first and foremost reason is these subjects are so much different than the subjects they are accustomed to and which their brains can process, that they don't dare to enter this. Often the excuse of devotees who do not listen about Krishna is, I'm not so advanced. What is behind this is, they say, I have no taste. I have taste in other things. It doesn't go in my head. I'm not so advanced. It sounds nice to say I'm not so advanced. It sounds very humble. It would be more real to say, but I'm sorry, I have no taste. That would be what it is, really, because yes, our heart is not yet purified, and therefore we are attracted to so many other things, like movies maybe, like novels, like other things to which we can easily relate. But my dear devotees, do you know that the only way to get taste is to hear it repeatedly? Srila Rupa Goswami gives us the example of a jaundiced patient who can not taste sweet things. It's almost like in corona, when you have corona, you cannot smell anything any longer. So when you have jaundice, you cannot taste sweet things any longer. And but in order to cure that disease, you have to eat sweets, tons of sweets. You should come to our festival where there is a lot of sweets available. This is the only cure. You have to sit. Prabhupada said it even like this. It is compulsory. Do you know the word compulsory, what this means? Compulsory, we will get you at a translation of the word. It means you have to do it. There is a compulsion about it. I would love to hear the English synonyms for compulsory.
Obligatory.
Mandatory.
Yeah.
Mandatory.
Required.
Required. Imperative.
Imperative.
Enforced. So all these things, obligatory, mandatory, required, it is compulsory. You can simply not avoid Krishna Katha. If you avoid, then you are putting yourself in the dangerous cycle of birth and death. This is not fiction or whims. It is compulsory. Prabhupada now gives another word. It's imperative. Everyone should become Krishna consciousness. If he does not become, then he's risking his life. The Acharya speaks to us. This point is repeated in the Bhagavatam again and again, that by hearing about Krishna's qualities, his pastimes, and so on, you are overcoming the ocean of samsara. I will just quote to you one shloka, which is a representative of many other similar shlokas. Samsara sindu adidushtaram atidisho nanya plavo bhagavata purushottamasya lila katara sanishevanam antarena pungso bhavet vivida dukkadava ditasya. For a person who is suffering in the fire of countless miseries and who desires to cross the insurmountable ocean of material existence, there is no suitable boat except that of cultivating devotion to the transcendental taste for the narrations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's pastimes. My dear devotees, if you want to cross an ocean, like the Atlantic Ocean, you can't do this by your swimming. If you don't have a suitable boat, you will simply think, maybe you will sink. Maybe you're a strong swimmer and you can swim for 6 hours. Maybe you're still stronger, you can swim for 10 or 12 hours. Maybe you are a super strong swimmer who's still alive after 24 hours, which is unlikely because the body cools out when you're so long in the water. But let's say you have eaten a lot of sweets and have a lot of pulse, and you have muscles, impressive muscles, still, in 24 hours, you can't swim across the Atlantic Ocean, you will die. If you have, however, a boat, best is with some good prasadam on it, then you can cross it. So in the same way, you can manage to go on in your Krishna consciousness without hearing about Krishna, without reading. Yes, you can, and many of you do, most of you, in fact, do this. Eventually, you will become spiritually devoid of any strength and any insight and any... you will lose connection out, and you will become so much attracted to material things. Like we all know, this is happening in life, no? So... this verse was from the 12th canto, 4th chapter, verse number 40, and Radhika Ranjan will most properly put it on the chat in case you want to read it again. I would like to give you an example of someone who has taste in Krishna's pastime. And when you hear this, you will be moved. There is a story about when Krishna had a headache. Narada Muni came to him and asked him about his welfare, and Krishna said, "I have a terrible headache." "Oh," said Narada Muni, "what medicine will you take, my lord?" And Krishna answered that there's only one medicine. It's the dust from the feet of my devotees. Lord Chaitanya also played this pastime. He contracted a terrible fever, and when it became worse and worse and worse, he said, only Charanamrita, the water that has washed the lotus feet of my devotee, can cure of a devotee Brahmana, he said. At that time he did not yet show that he is the Supreme Lord. So Narada Muni said that it should be simple to get this medicine from your devotees. Oh, said Krishna, you will see. They will not like to give it. So Narada Muni then went to Brahmanas, to Pandits. I heard once he went to the queens in Dwaraka and asked, told them Krishna has a headache. And they said, yes, the only way that this headache is removed is if he gets dust from the feet of his devotees. Would you give me some dust from your feet? And they said, no. If our dust goes to Krishna's feet, I go to hell. That I don't want. So Narada Muni came back after some time to Krishna and said, I can't get any dust. No one of your devotee wants to go to hell by committing an aparad, an offense against you. Narada Muni then said, no, Krishna then said, go to the gopis and see what will happen. So Prabhupada had a panda program. On the last day, 20,000 people came to the panda program to hear him speak and to see also the devotees performing kirtan. And after some time, so before his speaking, there was a drama which was put on by the devotees. And the devotees had changed it a little bit. They had said, one had to play a kami, one had to play a jnani, the messenger from Krishna came and asked them for dust. Anyways, so Prabhupada heard that there is this drama called Krishna's headache, and he wanted to see it. On the last day, he came to the stage where the drama was performed. The devotees quickly brought his Vyasasan, he said, and he looked at the drama. So when the messenger from Krishna came to the various people, and the people said, no, we will not give our dust to Krishna, Prabhupada was visibly moved. There was someone next to him, a devotee, the father of Krishna Murari, and he said, Prabhupada winced. I do not know if you know what the English word winced means. It means something like an involuntarily movement of the body, where the body shrinks back. In German, you would say zurückschrecken. So Prabhupada visibly winced when the people said, no, I don't want to give my dust from the feet to Krishna. I'm afraid I will go to hell. Then the messenger from Krishna went to the gopis of Vrindavan, and they asked, how is Krishna? And the messenger told them, he is ill, he has a headache. How can the headache be cured? Well, said the messenger, by the dust of the feet of the devotees. Oh, said the gopis, please take dust. And they gave the messenger dust. Take everything. Take as much as you need. The messenger said, but hey, stop. Are you not afraid? You're giving your dust from your feet to be put on the head of Krishna. Are you not afraid to go to hell? Oh, said the gopis, no problem. If Krishna's headache is removed, we are prepared to go to hell many times. This is a little bit like Prabhupada's motto, everything for Krishna, nothing for myself. And when Prabhupada saw this, my dear devotees, tears came shooting from his eyes. Prabhupada was crying about the love of the devotee. He had heard the story, Krishna has a headache, many times, but for him it was the first time. He had so much taste. He got up from his chair, he stood there with folded hands, his mouth was wide open, his eyes were wide open, almost like Lord Jagannath, because he had so much taste in Krishna and the pastimes relating to Krishna, that he reacted in such a way. Now, I know we don't have that much taste, but how will we ever get such taste? Here comes the answer. You have to hear again about Krishna, because Krishna Katha, here comes a new word, has Vastu Shakti. It's an inherent energy which is in the Krishna Katha. The inherent energy is that it will purify your heart from material contaminations, and then you will develop a taste. So much so that one day you will say, I need Krishna Katha, I need remembrance of Krishna as much as I need breathing. That's something, my dear devotees. That is profound. This is the Krishna Katha. In the Bhagavatam we hear about this. Shrinvata Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana. No? You know this shloka most properly. That by hearing about the Katha of Krishna, all the Lord in the heart removes that a contamination from you. It is removed. And you feel all of a sudden like a devotee, like a real devotee, not only someone who's dressed like a devotee. You feel in your heart these feelings. Oh, Krishna, and you feel attached. Rupa Goswami says in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, a devotee is known by one symptom, that is, he's attached to Krishna. Krishna, the person. This happens only by hearing about Krishna. Even, you know, we often speak about chanting so much, but chanting alone will not help you. Huh? What? This is new? You have to also hear about Krishna. Because only if you hear about Krishna, is your chanting something where you are mindful of Krishna, where you think of Krishna? When you don't hear about Krishna, don't know about Krishna, while you chant, your mind will be 1,000 times distracted. 1,000 times distracted. Most of the ones of the devotees who chant don't even think one time of Krishna when they chant. Do you think this is bhakti? Do you think this will bring you very far? No. You have to chant with sambandha, with a connection. You have to think of the person whose name you are chanting. And again, that's only possible if you hear about Krishna. Having said this, I want to talk about Krishna for the last remainder. There is a very nice Leela Katha in the Bhagavatam, which happens mysteriously at the end of the Bhagavatam. In one sense, the whole Bhagavatam is finished at the 79th chapter. Then all the pastimes of Krishna up till the his final stay in the world, you know, the pastimes in Dwaraka with the queens who express separation from Krishna. It's finished. All the demons are killed, and Krishna had come to kill the demons. But then Parikshit Maharaj doesn't want Shukadev to stop reciting the Bhagavatam. He says, how could anyone who knows the essence of life and is disgusted with material life give up the transcendental topics of Lord Uttama Shloka after hearing them repeatedly? And then he says, my life is useless if I don't hear about Krishna. He says, actual speech is about Corona. No, oh, sorry. Too much sleep. Actual speech is about pizza recipes. Oh, sorry. Actual speech is that which describes the qualities of the Lord. Real hands are those which make my apartment nice, you know. No, sorry. Real hands are those that work for Krishna. A true mind, is that which worries. No, sorry. A true mind is that which always remembers Krishna, how he's dwelling within every moving and non-moving thing. And actual ears are those that listen. I don't want to say these foolish things any longer. Actual ears are those that listen to the sanctifying topics about him. An actual head is one that bows down to the Lord in his manifestations amongst the moving and non-moving creature. This is amazing. Here the Lord says something which he has repeated many times in the Bhagavatam. You have to respect everyone, bow down to everyone, because believe it or not, Krishna is in them as the super soul. Real eyes are those that see only the Lord, and actual limbs are those which regularly honor the water that bathes the Lord's feet or those of his devotees. Actual life, my dear devotees, is when our senses are no longer captured by the material energy, but when they are captured by the source of everything, including the material energy, that is Krishna. So again, this comes only if we continually hear about Krishna, how he is, how he looks, you know, how he feels, how he sings, how he walks, how he talks, and so on. So let me speak very briefly. I must say I'm stealing here mostly from Jiva Goswami and from Gaurahari. This is called Parampara. So after Kamsa was killed, Vasudev thought, Krishna spent his time in the cowherd village herding cows and playing. But he must now learn something. He must get a proper education. And Krishna also thought, yes, let me show to the world that even I want to learn from a guru. So then from whom could Krishna learn? It's almost as if Madhava, the Kirtan Madhava, comes to Shrishtikara and says, can you show me a few melodies? Shrishtikara would say, you know many more melodies than me. I'm not so good at this, and so on. So where can the Supreme Personality of Godhead learn? He can only learn from someone who doesn't know that he is God. He cannot go to his devotees. He cannot go to Vyasadev to learn from Vyasadev, who has written about his pastimes and who is his incarnation. He must go to a devotee, not of himself, but of another devotee. So Krishna chose Sandipani Muni, who was a Shiva Bhakta. the highly learned Sandipani Muni. Now, because Krishna wanted to be a brahmachari, he did not take a chariot. He walked by foot. 7 days he took to walk from Mathura to where Sandipani Muni lived, that is in Avanti. The modern name is, where is it, Uda? Ujjain, thank you. When people, and he went with Balaram, when people saw the two, Krishna, Balaram, Jiva Goswami describes what they said amongst themselves, their gossip, so to say. When they saw Balaram, they said, he looks like a mass of light, walking. And when the people saw Krishna, they thought, this is the highest beauty which we could ever see. And also the women were helplessly attracted and stared at him. But Krishna looked down because he was a brahmachari now, and he even closed his ears so that he wouldn't hear these admiring words of the ladies on the way. Finally, they came in the ashram of Sandipani Muni. They were filled with strong devotion. And like it is described in the Vedas, when one approaches the guru, one should assist him in his service. So Sandipani Muni would regularly do fire sacrifices, and to assist him, they came with their hands filled with firewood for the yagya and also fruits which they brought. And after a short introduction, they said to Sandipani Muni, "O possessor of all opulences, born in a high family, deliver us from the suffering of this material existence." Sandipani Muni looked at them. He just had never seen a mass of light and the sum total of all beauty. He looked at them and he just could answer more or less mechanically, "Yes, yes, I will teach you." who's your father? So Krishna, in a very clever way, he did not really want to say who he is, because Sandipani Muni could find out. He said it in such a way that Sandipani Muni understood, okay, you're from Kshatriyas, you're Kshatriyas. And he said, the first thing, Syam, and how did Balaram introduce himself? I can't remember. Krishna said, call us the black one, call me the black one, and call him the white one. So he said, yes, Syam and the white one, the first thing you have to learn is to give up your false ego of being a Kshatriya. And the only way to give up your false ego is you have to go begging to receive alms for the ashram. So when Krishna and Balaram left after receiving the first instruction to go begging, Sandipani Muni turned to the others and said, "I don't know, when I see the two, my heart becomes so happy. I don't know. I see that they are eating soft butter and they are surrounded by the affection of a very loving mother." You know, when as a child you have a very loving mother, then you tend to be more gentle, more soft. I must say personally, I had the most affectionate mother you can imagine. She did so much for me. I'm just so grateful. When whenever I was miserable because, you know, my father had beaten me because I was so wild. My father would beat me, but he would cry while he would do it. I have to do this, otherwise you will not know your limits and then you will be in great danger later. So after I came back, my mother cooked my favorite preparation, wackel pudding. It's something you have not seen what it is. It moves. It's a pudding which looks as if it's alive. And as children, we loved that pudding. It's a vegetarian. It's no problem. So when I was feeling, I don't know what's wrong with me, mother. I feel no. I go to these parties and dance and dance and dance, but I feel no attraction to do more. Parties means illicit activities. I just don't want to do it. Is something wrong with me? The mother said, no. And she would give me solace, I remember. So then when you have a gentle mother, you normally are also gentle and soft, you know. So I had, so Sandipani Muni knew the psychology and said, when I look at them, I can see that they are soft. They have eaten a lot of butter. That makes you a little healthy looking. They had soft mothers, gentle soft mothers. They were surrounded by affection. And he was right. Krishna and Balaram were loved by all of Vrindavan's population residents. So therefore, he said, I have decided to not give them any heavy work to do in the ashram. They are very soft. And he told his wife, you should not engage them in heavy work. I love them somehow, and there is something special about them. So Krishna would go with the boys each morning to beg food and other supplies for the ashram of Sandipani Modi. And the boys would have one mantra, so to say. They would say, when the women of the house opened, "Oh mother, we are from Sandipani Muni's ashram. Please, would you give us alms?" Krishna, however, would say every word of the mantra, except for mother. Because whenever he would try to speak mother, his throat would choke. And he couldn't continue to talk because he was thinking of Mother Yashoda. So he would say, Krishna would say, "Oh, we are from Sandipani Muni's ashram." Not, "Oh mother, we are from Sandipani Muni's ashram." Because Krishna didn't want to cry before the people. So when Krishna Balaram came to the houses, something peculiar happened. The people gave everything from the household, not just food, but very items, pots for cooking and everything, because they felt so attracted to Krishna Balaram. And soon, when Krishna and Balaram went begging, they took a few ox cart with them, where they would pile the things which the people of Avanti would give them. They would pile them on the ox carts and a whole, how do you say, in German you say kolonne, a long row of ox carts came to the ashram. One day, Sandipani Muni was sitting in private with his good wife. And the wife of Sandipani was very interested to talk confidentially amongst husband and wife. And she said, "Oh, my husband, you have many students in your ashram, but may I know who of the students you like most?" And Sandipani Muni said, these two I like most. He only needed to say these two and everyone would know. These two Kshatriya boys I like most. The wife said, "What? I'm surprised. I never see them working. They don't do anything. They just go, they talk sweetly. And yes, they beg, but they really don't endeavor. I'm missing this hard work aspect of the disciple." And Sandipani Muni said, "What do you know? Because they are so young and soft, I've instructed them not to do any hard work." Now Krishna nevertheless wanted to do personal service. If you go to the ashram of Sandipani Muni, you see a very interesting feature in the ashram. I saw this in the video which Buridhan Prabhu made when he visited. There is a little pond in the ashram. It is, you know, there are many steps which go down, like Radhakund, but many more steps. And this is the Gomati Kund, which Krishna personally created for his guru, so that he would not have to make a long walk every morning down to the Gomati River to take his bath. He said, "O Guru Maharaj, I have created a kund for you where the Gomati River is present. You please go and take your bath in the kund. I see you every morning making a walk half an hour to the kund, to the river, and then you take your bath and you return." The Sandipani Muni said, I don't think you can bring Gomati River here in my ashram. I have never taught you this, nor is it possible for anyone." Krishna said, I'm proving you. You go tomorrow to your Gomati River and you take your kamandalu there. And when you you put it on the banks of the Gomati River, and then you take your bath, and then you come back." So Sandipani Muni thought, what will happen now? So he went down to the river the next morning, put his kamandalu down, and took his bath. When he came out, the kamandalu was no longer there, nor were all his things. So he came back to the ashram. The towel was there. And Krishna was greeting him and said, "Here, see." And he went to the kund, and there was at the kund his kamandalu and all his things, because Krishna had transported Gomati and the banks of the Gomati right into the ashram. And then from that day on, Sandipani Muni took his bath in his ashram at the Gomati Kund, where the Gomati River was brought by Krishna. Very, very, there are many pastimes in the ashram of Sandipani Muni. We all know how Krishna got firework for his ashram for the teacher, and how he was attacked by a huge monsoon rain. We've heard about this. We know how Krishna served his Guru Maharaj by bringing back his dead son. Krishna tried to serve his spiritual master, although it was difficult because Sandipani Muni did not want this. And he explained his heart, Krishna, in the Bhagavatam, why he did this. He said, "Naham icha prajati pyam taposo pashemanena va tus yejam sava bhutatma guru shushushayayata." I the soul of all beings, am not as satisfied by ritual worship, Brahminical initiation, penances, or self-discipline, as I am by faithful service rendered to one's spiritual master. If someone faithfully serves a great soul, like Srila Prabhupada, Krishna will be very satisfied. Krishna, who is in the heart of everyone, will be so satisfied and come and help. So this is how Krishna established by his own behavior how important he considered Gurukul, or the training person under the personal care of a spiritual master. That's how that is Krishna's perspective on all of on the guru disciple relationship, and he was the best of disciples, and so on. So Hare Krishna, I want to finish here my short Krishna Katha. I know I could go on for many, you know, I have studied this pastime personally, but I want to not talk too long. I want to give time for your questions. Maybe you can send your questions, if you have any, to Radhika Ranjan, and Radhika Ranjan will know how to get it to me. And but I want to end here. My dear devotees, what I wanted to say today as my message to you is that to become attached to Krishna is the whole essence of our path of bhakti. And that is only possible if you hear about Krishna. Hearing about Krishna, as we heard, is like a powerful boat that helps you to cross the insurmountable ocean of material existence. That means birth and death. Hearing about Krishna is so powerful because it can give you, who can give us, who are aruchi, who don't have any real taste. Sometimes we have taste and then we switch into other taste. That means we have not yet real taste. Hearing about Krishna will cure our taste problem. That's the way to do. And hearing about Krishna is so necessary so that the main process in our sampradaya, that is chanting the holy name, will work. Chanting the holy name without knowing about Krishna, thinking about Krishna, loving Krishna, will be at best namabhas. It will not be the pure holy name. In Mumbai, Prabhupada said, when you chant, keep Krishna in your heart. You chant the Hare Krishna mantra and you will realize that gradually you are advancing to meet Krishna face to face. And then he stops and looks at this ocean of people and he says, that is possible. Once again, because at least in the temple only half of the audience could concentrate on this last part, so I will repeat it again. When you chant, keep Krishna in your heart. And then when you chant the Hare Krishna mantra, you will realize that gradually you are advancing to meet Krishna face to face. That's actually possible. That is the goal of Krishna consciousness. That is the mission of Krishna consciousness. I think if you add hearing about Krishna on a regular basis to your sadhana, either existing or non-existent sadhana, everyone has hopefully a little sadhana, but some have very minimal sadhana here, at least in the room. One can feel from the vibration of people. if you do add this to your sadhana, your spiritual practice, my dear devotees, you will one day meet Krishna. Just listen. Maybe you will chant all your rounds when you listen more to Krishna. No? Maybe it will. For many it has worked that way. And in this way make your life successful. Yeah, so I want to end here. I thank you very much. I hope the message was clear, but not too intense. I asked Gaurahari, who is usually soft-spoken, can I preach a little to the devotees? Do you think it's possible in 2021? Are they still? And he said, yes, yes, we need it. Hare Krishna. So I want to now see if there are any questions. We have questions already from an online audience, but I want to also look here. Last time Ananga Manjari saved us, she had a good question. Again, you have? It's after Prasadam. It's a little the blood is in the stomach of most of the devotees.
Krishna Katha, hearing about Krishna. I have to personally say that for me, although on the level where I am, Lopanartas, very conscious about, many times I would say from devotees, well, this is too high, we are not on this level to hear, and like I should also maybe go on other direction, hearing something else than Krishna Katha. So I'm very happy that you're making this point, because also I was hearing some time ago, I was reading Kaushala Prabhupada saying that even lust and all of these anarthas, like greed and lust, are actually disappearing by hearing Krishna Katha.
Those who do, they have this experience, yeah. So I will repeat the point for the internet devotees. The point here is that very often devotees say hearing Krishna Katha is too high for them. And Ananga Manjari heard that just by hearing Krishna Katha, lust, or we can say a word also, material desires, do disappear gradually from the heart. My dear devotees, I had COVID, which means I'm very, at least for some time, I was immune to get it again. I don't know what is the situation now. I had COVID when I returned from the farm, and I asked a doctor in whom I have faith what medicine I should take. And the doctor gave me medicine, and there's also some Chinese herbs were there, when I did, I took the medicine, I first didn't like to take them. The taste was not very good. But since I wanted to cure myself from the disease, and it happened in 2 days. It was I had very mild attack only. Because I wanted to be cured, I took the medicine, and yes, as I said, in relatively short time, it was over. Our whole ashram had it. Gaur Krishna had it, Padmakshi had it, Banu Nandini is headed as well. She lives in the castle, but she also was in the farm. And we had it, and it was intense, you know. Although we had it mildly, but I don't wish anyone to have this. It is you feel really that something invades your system, which is very strong, very strong, and you need to, and you are worried because you have not felt, it's something new. Everyone knows a cold, but this is a heavy cold, you know, this is a heavy, something more heavy. And so I really took the medicine. I usually am very bad in taking medicine. I do it for 1 hour and then I put it aside. But here I took it. And because I really wanted to be healthy, and I felt sick. I knew I was sick, and I knew I this could be dangerous. I felt really that, oh my God, if this really becomes stronger, the fever, I don't know what I will do. It's really, it didn't. So those who take determinedly to the, those who know I'm sick, I have a problem, I have material desires, and who do not want to schönreden this, you know, my neighbor has also material desires, and the other also, but who really want to do something against it, or the devotees who think I'm now so long, but I'm such a neophyte. If I look at me and my heart, I'm just still such a beginner. Those who are willing to confront and be honest with themselves, they know, okay, something must be done. So let me see what can be done. Let me not make excuses. Oh, I tried so many times and he tried so many times and not much happened. But let... But when you really become serious and you want to change, then you will take the medicine of Shravanam Kirtanam, and you will do it quite regularly. But I think the problem which we have is that we don't acknowledge that there is a problem. The Red Indians, or the Native Americans, you have to say it like this, have a saying. When you find that your horse is dead, don't get a new whip. Don't get a horse psychologist. Or don't hide between the explanation that the horse of my neighbor is also dead. Get a new horse quickly if you want to go somewhere. So if you find that I need more advancement, then you should become thirsty, you should become a researcher, and you will, I guarantee you, when you look for something, Krishna will give you something that works for you. He will give you the right source of Krishna Katha, which you like to hear. The right type of speaker. They are now very good speakers, very advanced souls. You can click on the internet. I have discovered a young boy. He's, I think, from a previous life, a speaker. Tell the name. Amarendra. Amarendra, so much, you just go, how, so nice, Krishna Katha, you go like this. You will find someone where you can lock in, but first you have to say, I guess my horse is dead. I must get a new one. And that's how every... Don't think you have to be honest with yourself only when you join. You have to be honest with yourself at every stage of your life. What? I should stop now? Okay. Stay on. And they're good questions. You don't want to stuck. Maybe tomorrow. Good. Later. Good. I have to stop here, and I want to stop also because there's another program, part of the program coming. Yeah. Good. So I will now. What will I do now? Ask Radhikaranjan. Radhikaranjan, where are you? We need to see you and hear you.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj, and to all the participants here. I need to speak very briefly now because we have a video that's on YouTube that is an hour long that Mahatma Muni and many other devotees have put together. Because of the Zoom and the way that we share videos, the best way we decided to do this was to put it on YouTube, and this YouTube would premiere at 7 o'clock. And so we've missed 10 minutes of the video, but we will jump straight into it. So in the chat box, for those of you that are on Zoom, I'm now posting a link, which please kindly click on without delay, and this will also be played simultaneously at Goloka Dham, and we will reconvene after this video is finished in 45 minutes. So see you after this video is finished. Hare Krishna.
Seems to be an important subject. Wow, Haribo. One moment. Ooh, my God. This is always what I do. I make things difficult. It's all right. Actually, you know, I came with this cup. I was absent-minded, and I emptied the whole cup on the seat. But maybe it is symbolic. It's really good now. Yes, the image of the cloud. In this Vyasa Puja ceremony is used to indicate that we should go above the clouds. But now, with the water in the clouds, it invokes another image, and that is the image of and the water is, by the way, gone. We can all concentrate now. finally, something practical. We can take care of water. Ah, too much Krishna Katha. The image of the cloud is that the cloud gives water to the parched land that's dry, so dry. So the Sangsara Dhavana prayers to the spiritual master, it is said that he gives water to us who are dry in our heart, so dry that the bhakti lata, the plant of bhakti, cannot grow. But then, by the mercy of the spiritual master, water comes, and all of a sudden, so much unexpected growth takes place. Have you seen water coming to real dry land? Have you seen the land before the water came? And have you then seen the land after the water had come? It's a huge difference. Before, the land was barren. After the water came, so many plants, so many grass, flowers, and so on have arisen and come. So I wish all of you that you will always find a cloud in your life, that you will always, without fail, stay under the cloud and not run away like most of us do, but continue to hold out a little bit longer, stay a little bit longer, and then unexpected growth can happen in your life, things which you didn't think were possible. I must tell you, this Vyasa Puja is mysteriously very outstanding for me. It's not outstanding because of the online situation. We never had such a Vyasa Puja. It's also not outstanding because of the different format. This year we had projects of disciples, where they introduced the projects. I thought this was really good and very educative. No, for me, to be very honest, it is special because, you know, it's 50 years where I do this. Now you might say, but you don't believe in calendar dates, no? You forget numbers. Why is the number 50 important, please? Isn't 50 a number like every other number? For me, 50 is a number like every other number. It's irrelevant, except for these 50 years. Because maybe 10 years ago, I had asked one of Srila Prabhupada's secretary, who remembers so many things he had, Prabhupada had said, is there any time in which a disciple can retire maybe from this strenuous and active service? And Prabhupada had answered this question about retirement, and he said, yes, when someone has done 50 years of service, they can retire. Once Prabhupada, this is one reason, it's why 50 is a remarkable number for me. What is even more remarkable is that I don't want to retire. When I asked the question, I was thinking, oh yeah, maybe I can do what I like most, to chant from morning till evening and stay in Vrindavan and disappear. No one will find me any longer. Maybe I can do that. But Now I'm 50 years and I don't want to do this. I become more enthusiastic to serve Prabhupada. Not that I don't, that I'm less enthusiastic for Vrindavan, no. Parallelly, I'm also enthusiastic for chanting and keeping my relationship to Vrindavan and intensifying it. So Prabhupada's statement, they can retire, and my own decision to not retire at 50 years of service, I think I'm not disappointing Prabhupada, because he did service up to the last moment. But this makes 50 years special, and there's another reason. It was in Hamburg where one young devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, how long does it take to become Krishna conscious? And Prabhupada had answered, it can happen immediately or not after a million of years. And then he said, it all depends on your sincerity. And then he talked a little bit more, and then he came to a point, why 50 years is so important for me of service. He said, when someone has chanted 50 years, then most properly he will develop love of Godhead. So I have chanted 50 years now, and all I will say here is, I'm very, very happy in my life. I do not know why I'm happy. I thought I would never be content. Content means it's more than happiness. Do you understand the word content? Not content of a lecture, but content. It means satisfied, being satisfied inside. I don't know. I thought I never will be content, because I have a mind which is not so easily satisfied. Those who know me a little bit closer, like Gaurahari, know that I'm very, very curious person, isn't it? Very curious. Oh, and I want to find out everything, and I'm giving difficulties to poor Gaur Krishna. He needs to explain all difficult English words, and I'm driving him crazy with my interest in the English language and various slang styles in English and everything. I just have such a mind. I'm not very happy, but this is what it is. A restless mind, a restless soul, but I'm very content. I feel satisfied. I don't know why. I think it is because of Prabhupada's blessings for those who chant. No devotee will speak about his own spiritual, the deeper insights in a public forum. Public forum is the moment you are on the internet, it's very public. No devotee will speak about it. I've never heard a devotee speak about this in a public forum. So therefore, please allow me to keep my principle of being silent about this. But all I can really honestly say to you, Krishna consciousness, or especially the chanting of the holy name, really works. And there really is a Krishna. There really is Srimati Radharani. There really are their associates. It's a fact. It's not a story. It's not religious belief. It's not... how do you call this? Expectant thinking, you know, that you think something and you like to think something, you like to believe something, and then you see it somehow in your mind, although the whole world thinks, yes, he's imagining. There is the psychological phenomena. It happens very often in spiritual movement. Many of my disciples are, not many, some of my disciples are in the trap that their imaginations for them are, they think they are real spiritual visions. It happens, it's normal, it's not bad, it's not good, it's just normal human psychology. But these things are not in this category. Spiritual life is not in this category. It is just different. There really is Krishna. Hare Krishna. 50 years, two times are important for me. I don't care for any numbers. I forget them. I don't know how to operate a mobile telephone and not a computer. I cannot drive a car. And I never want to learn these things. It is not necessary for my life because I have good assistance. But here I remember 50 years, and I was praying to Krishna, please let me somehow cross over this 50 lines. Please protect me. Yes, here I am, 50 years and one day. Therefore I'm very, very happy, and I thank you for making such a wonderful celebration. I thank Madhva Muni really very, very much. I do not know if he can hear me. I guess he can. I very much want to thank you for putting this together. It is way beyond my expectations. It's really, I think it's a permanent document, something. And we are very sorry. We made a, there was some miscommunication, so we missed in the first 10 minutes of it, but I will definitely look at the whole thing, and I would want to request you, it is there on YouTube, or
yes, it's it is there under the same link devotees received, it's already.
Oh yeah, and they can they all have it, they can link because yeah, it is a very nice document, and I very much thank you also, Madhva Muni, for putting all the scenes were very, very nice, some instructions or lecturing that was important, I think was I could see I'm actually very enthusiastic. I didn't know. I thought I'm a little mental, but I'm very enthusiastic somehow when I talk about Krishna consciousness. And but also the disciples who talked. And then this lovely scene on Radhakund, I remember that. In that lecture where Mohan came, I later guided you to take a mental bath in Radhakund. How to do it, to take a bath in your mind in Radhakund. Actually today, believe it or not, I took a bath in Radhakund. Very, very deep bath I took. One devotee went to Radhakund and put my picture in the Radhakund. Wonderful. Sent me the video. And when I got the video, I made it a point to really go in my mind with the picture. It's very good. Very. No, first he sprinkled some water and it went all over the picture. And yes, Krishna. I wanted to say, yes, so this was very nice. The various disciples saying things, so thoughtful, Manditangi, Jyotirmayi, but then that very moving document of our Govinda Hari. Did you see Govinda Hari? That nice little elderly devotee, he sat on the chair and he read a very poetic and well-written thing. You know why this was important for me, Madhva Muni? I could communicate with Govinda Hari only through mostly you or another translator. Govinda Hari's English was not so good that he could express his deeper feelings. And naturally, the translator, he didn't speak poetry or like in the way he spoke here. He asked questions, I talked to him on like this. Or it was practical, where we would go, what we would do, etc. But here, you recorded, you know, and we could see the richness of his heart and his mind and the depths of his expression. I was really... I had heard about it, but I had never seen it actually. Or I had heard about it means others telling me about it, but I'd never heard it myself. And here, wow, I'm definitely going to listen to this again. Were you awake enough to follow? It was really good. No, about you know, expecting someone to be, also his guru, to be like his imagination of a guru, and then how he then put his imagination and his expectations away because there was something else taking birth in him, not to act according to his imagination. And for the lifetime which Govinda Hari was with us, he has left his body last year, he really acted in a very surrendered way. Madhva Muni could, and others also asked him for any service, any small service, he would do it. And he was a famous person. In Serbia, everyone knows him as... Igor Stravinsky or Igor Spaso, who had who became famous for a TV documentary, means Black Library or Black, what was it? Black Chronicles. It is about really intense crimes which happened. And he would go there with his camera right after the crime. And by his filming, the criminals could be caught and justice could be done. And he had helped really big crimes to dissolve. And he became a professor of film in the Prague University. He taught children. And he taught also our Krishna conscious children to filming, how they should film and announce and so on. He was a wonderful and such a humble servant. You can't believe how humble he was. So I was very happy to see the richness of his expression, the richness of his thinking, and the richness of his feeling, which I knew must have been there, but I've never heard it. So I'm very, very grateful. He was and is very close to all the devotees who know him. And how nicely you ended this with Gokripas. Dee, 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 dee. Sorry, much better than this, but some nice singing. No, there was not nice singing, but he, Guru Gokripa, sang so beautifully. And he is also someone everyone knows in the Balkans. If you tell his name, Goran Karan, they worship him like a god. Still today, he has musicals, he has written musicals, he performs with great international stars. I saw once I was invited in a big concert hall, big concert hall, and one lady from Turkey was the best singer from Turkey sing, and so other many other countries. And in the midst of it, the concert, he says, "I want to greet my Guru Maharaj." You know, not at all afraid of public opinion and so on, because he's already the god of music in Balkans. He can do everything. But even if not, he's like this. They are like this. So thank you for showing this. And please excuse us. We didn't know, so we came 10 minutes too late to the premiere. And we saw Veerachandra. Veerachandra is a wonderful speaker. He is our professor, Veerachandra. Ooh. Very strong professor. He teaches in Barcelona, and he talks about being in the Sankirtan van. wonderful. Yes. No, very. Thank you very much. I'm very, very impressed by this production. It flew. It did not become boring. Boring is not the word. Redundant. It was flowing very nice, really. Steven Spielberg should learn from you, Madhva Muni. I always said it, and thank you very, very much. Let us please all, ladies and gentlemen, raise your spirits for a massive round of applause. Hari Bol! Hari Hari Bol. Good. So now we over to you, Radhika Ranjan.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much, Madhva Muni, Prabhu, for that wonderful garden of inspiration. We missed the first 10 minutes because we're trying to figure out how to time it properly. But anyway, the link is still available if you want to rewatch it. And especially, I think Guru Maharaj, Madhva Muni wanted to inform you that in the first 10 minutes, Sadanandi is speaking also. So maybe you want to rewatch the first 10 minutes.
Who is speaking?
Sadanandi.
Sadanandi. Acha.
Sadanandi, yeah.
Yes. Oh yeah. No, I will watch.
Watch that.
I will watch the whole thing, but for sure that
the future.
Will it stay long?
Yes. I'm trying to lift it at the moment.
Yeah, he cannot hear you. It's either or.
Acha.
Do you want to switch? Do you want to say?
No. I just want to ask. Will it stay long?
Yes. It will be available from now, but it's private. It's not public. Private.
Yeah, good. But I can see.
Yes.
Yes.
And of course you can.
Very
yeah,
good.
So that video will be available for all of us to rewatch, and the link is in the chat box. So if those devotees who want to watch that again, please do keep it saved. It's a wonderful, wonderful offering. Thank you so much, Mandalini Guru. We will move on to a wonderful surprise offering from one of Guru Maharaj's dear friends, His Grace Gurujan Guru, who sent an audio message but also some pictures for us to relish.
My humble obeisances, of course, to Srila Prabhupada. Today is Yom Vyasa Puja Day, and I just wanted to wish you happy birthday. Yes, I said it, Hare Krishna. I'm sure you will have a happy day, because you're with the devotees, and you'll be chanting with them and hearing about Krishna, I'm sure, and it's the day after Nityananda Trayodasi. So very, very nice. So again, it's been, actually I was remembering the first time we met, it was in, I think it was 1987. So it's already been a long time. And then we did that first you accompanied me when I was doing that Dandavat Parikrama around Vrindavan to that, the first stage, the first step, and then Govardhan retreats, and on and on and on, year after year after year, by the mercy of the dust of Vrindavan. So it's been fun to be with you, to share this amazing journey. And yeah, so let us keep it up and let's see where it ends. I think it will end in the most wonderful of all places. And also I'm sending, I found some photos that I've taken of you, and mostly during retreats or sometimes our time together over the years. So maybe they'll be appropriate. I'll send them to Guru Krishna Ji Prabhu, and maybe they'll be appropriate to show on this one day to the devotees who have who are gathering to glorify, I won't say you, but the process of serving the transparent media. I've been reading a lot in that, or I've been meaning to tell you this, I've been reading a lot in the Sri Krishna Chaitanya volumes. Yeah, and it's a very, very, very deepening, I would say. And I remember when you sent them to me, those white volumes, you said they remove doubts about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's position as the Supreme Lord. And indeed, they are very powerful. They're really hard to read. But thank you for sending them to me, or having them sent to me. So they're a giver of life, I find. Okay, Maharaj. Our Sachinandana Maharaj, our very own Sachinandana Maharaj. Jai Sachinandana. And happy birthday. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And I hope it is truly very happy for you. Hare Krishna. And I hope that your enthusiasm to chant Krishna's names, to serve in the deepest way, and to dance on the most holy ground is ever increasing. Hare Krishna.
Hare Bo. Hare Krishna. Wow, thank you very much, Puri Jampabhu, and those of you who organized this to contact both Giriraj Maharaj and Puri Jampabhu. I always think of why do you contact my God brothers? They are so much more exalted than me, and they will be forced to say something because you are so enthusiastic and so strong-minded, and then they have to say something. But as I hear them speaking, I understand they like to. It's a friendship. You like to be with friends and talk. Yes, it is a fact with Puri Jampabhu, a very unusual friendship has developed. I'm saying unusual because we are quite different. He's an intellectual and I'm a very experience-oriented person. And not that experience is not important for him, but he thinks and presents his thoughts very well in his books and also in his lectures. And we became introduced to each other when he gave a course in the Vrindavan Institute for Higher Educations. He was one teacher, Tamakrishna Goswami was a teacher, Giriraj Maharaj was a teacher, and Krishna Chetta and myself were students. We stayed in the same room together. Now, Krishna Chaitanya Maharaj appreciated the systematic study of the Shastra so much, and I always wanted to run out of the room and fly into Vrindavan. But I had committed to study, and I studied, and I was next to another of my god brother, the best student, I have to say. I think Bhujan Prabhu just made this to encourage me, because he saw how much tapasya it was for me. And we became introduced to each other. We sometimes made small excursions into the holy Dham, where we sang the Vaishnava Acharya songs and so on. Then I developed the habit to go each year for an entire month into seclusion and chant. And he said if he could come and visit me, and he would not talk, he would just chant also. And I said, yes, wonderful, but I just want to make known I can really not talk. It's not impolite, but this is the nature of the Vrata. You make a vow and you offer that to Radha and Krishna, and you don't want to break it, otherwise don't make such a vow. So I told him, and he respected it, and we would chant, he in his room, I in my room, or he sometimes together in one room, and so on and so forth. And what we recognized, that under our difference, he was married, I not. He was an intellectual and a teacher. I was a preacher and experience-oriented person. There are differences, difference of opinions. He from New York, I from Germany. He speaks good English, I speak not. Etc., etc., etc. But we could see that under the differences which were there, we shared one thing in common: our love to Vrindavan, our love of Krishna, our love of Prabhupada. And on that level, we bonded. We meet every year, we speak from time to time, not so regularly because I'm not a mobile telephone man. We speak to each other regularly, and we feel mutually enhanced by our friendship. I treasure this very much. I especially treasure his commitment to spiritual advancement. He's now elderly, I think 72 or so, but he still is very eager to make spiritual advancement, and he doesn't shy away from anything which is necessary to do that. And we are doing together the Govardhan retreat since many years, and we have built now a retreat center which is almost finished. We have a very good devotee and capable person in dealing in with everything in Braj. We know Bihari, Vrindavan, we know is his name. And we want to see this retreat center in operation before we give the preaching stuff to the next generation, before we are no longer here in this world. And it should happen in 1 year, 2 years, where you can go, get a room and stay for as long as you wish in the retreat center, just by Giriraj, see Giriraj when you get up in the morning from your room, and take Krishna consciousness a step further in your life. That is what we are committed to do. Good. I want to now turn over to Radhika Ranjan and ask him to say, we are coming to the close almost, yes? Is it the last announcement? Oh yeah, it's the last announcement, Radhika Ranjan. Please put some oil in your brain that it is working well and some bhakti in your heart. Last announcements.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much, Ramaraj, and thank you to Bhujangpu and the devotees involved with collating that wonderful recording.